Welcome to our Painesville Assembly of God podcast. Our desire is to connect people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If this message touches your heart, we'd love to hear about it. Email us at info@painesvilleag.com or visit painesvilleag.com. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to your faith.
This morning, we're going to kick off a new series. Let me ask you a question, though, as we do. And I want you to be honest with me. Has anyone ever told you that you should witness more? You should share your faith more. Anybody ever? Maybe it was in a sermon. Maybe it was a Bible study or a book you read, a devotional you read. And, and let's just be honest. You heard those whispers maybe in your heart. The people around you need Jesus, and you sat through the sermon and you agreed. Yes, amen, I agree with that, right? But have you ever found that overwhelming and I'm not sure what to do with that? Yeah, only one person is really honest. How do I know that? Because this place would be full if we knew that, if we practiced it, right? Or maybe you tried it once. Maybe that was the case. You said, I've tried that once. I wanted to talk to a friend or a coworker or a neighbor about Jesus. I tried to do it, and I don't know, the conversation was just kind of awkward, and I got to the end of it, and I thought, you don't really know what you're doing. I am never doing that again. Anybody ever been there before? Maybe you don't want to say amen. I know I've struggled, even as a pastor. I've struggled at times. I've tried to share faith, and I've come away going, oh my goodness, that I don't think that went anywhere. That was, you really need to get better at that. Right? I think we find ourselves, or maybe you're new. You're new to faith, and you want to tell somebody about what's happening, but you're just not quite sure that you're equipped enough, that you know enough, that, man, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I just started learning this myself. How am I supposed to share this with somebody else? What if they ask me questions, and I don't know the answers to those things? The reality is many of us struggle with this. In fact, when it comes to sharing our faith, when it comes to taking this relationship with Jesus that we've discovered, his grace and his mercy, when we go to share it with others, sometimes we're a little bit confused about it and we're not quite sure how to do it. And sometimes we may even think, I don't know if I should do it. Is that even right to share my faith with someone else? Well, according to surveys, 94 to 97% of Christians strongly or somewhat agreed with this statement. Part of my faith means being a witness for Jesus. So 94 to 97% of people agreed that I should probably share my faith with someone. However, 30 to 35% of Christians also responded this way to this survey. They believed that it's wrong to share one's personal beliefs with someone of a different faith in hopes that they will one day share the same faith as you. That's a little bit confusing. I believe I should share my faith, but about 30 to 35% say, I don't know if I should. I don't know if that's right to share my faith with somebody who believes something different in hopes that they will start to share the faith that I have. I like how Dave Ferguson kind of summarizes the confusion in his book, Bless, and we're going to look at that today. This is modeled, the message today is modeled after that. I'll explain in a little bit why I'm sharing from this book today and why I'm going to be sharing over the next couple weeks some practices from this book. But he summarized the inner conversation that sometimes we may experience as believers when it comes to sharing our faith this way. He says, my faith has made a huge difference for me. I know it could help others. Jesus tells us it's good news and that I should share it. But whenever I try to present the gospel, I feel like I'm selling a used car or I'm part of a pyramid scheme. Can you identify with that? And so maybe what I'm hearing from society is that evangelism is wrong. Or maybe it's not actually right, or perhaps I shouldn't even try to share my faith. But if you've ever wrestled with this, listen to these stats. Research from Pew Research, according to 2023-24 survey, 83% of U.S. adults believe in God, in a God, or in a universal spirit of some kind, even though they may not be formally religious. So 83% of people are either open to the idea there is a God or that there is some kind of a higher power. This was validated in a 2025 study when phrased more broadly, around 85% believe in God or some higher spiritual reality. So about 85% of people believe that. Now, the number does drop to 60 to 65% when you say, do you believe, though, in the God of the Bible? In the God that the Bible shares, it drops to about 60 to 65%. But that's not too bad, but it doesn't necessarily mean that those folks are churchgoers or followers of Jesus. 83% or 60% would consider themselves to be religious. Furthermore, Barna has repeatedly reported this: between 23% and 27% of U.S. adults who do not identify as Christians say they're curious about Christianity. 23 to 27% of people who do not have any kind of religious affiliation say they're curious about Christianity. And that same study says that those in their 20s and mid-30s are actually more likely than older adults to be curious, exploring, or even open to the Christian faith. That's great news, isn't it? That's great news. Not only do a vast majority of our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers believe in God as a higher power, but 1/4 to 1/3 are actually interested and desire to know about Jesus and Christianity. What is it all about? What does it really mean? I think we're seeing that. I think there's a growing interest in those things, and I think we see that with things like The Chosen. Although there's some liberties that are in there, and it may not be exactly like Scripture, there's at least an interest, and even among those who do not go to church or have interest, when they watch, they go, you know, there's something about this Jesus that I'm interested in. Who is this Jesus? Here's another cool statistic. 79% of unchurched people agree with the following statement: I don't mind listening to a friend talk about their faith if it is important to them. I don't mind listening to a friend talk about their faith if it's important to them. I know, don't bring up politics or religion, right? It causes conflict. But I think in the right context, I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think that's been a lie or a myth that sometimes we have come to believe, and it's kept us from being able to truly be open about this relationship with Jesus who has radically changed our lives. And I know you may not have accepted, maybe you're someone interested in faith, maybe you haven't come, maybe you're one of the ones curious, and you come to church, or you've been coming to church, or you came in for the first time today. I want you to know today, I'm sharing with Christians, but I want you to know today that personally, Jesus has changed my life. He's changed my life. I've reoriented every part of my life because I've experienced something so true, so radical in my life, this love and this grace and this mercy of Jesus, that it has so impacted me that I have reoriented my life so that I can share with you about his love. And so I'm glad that you're with us this morning. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you're watching online. What if it was never meant to be so scary, though? What if really sharing our faith wasn't meant to be a scary thing, wasn't meant to be a confusing thing? What if Jesus never meant it that way? In fact, I think the Bible actually shows us that that's the case. What if Jesus actually lived and moved into his neighborhood in a way with relationships through ordinary days that were something that was easy for us to imitate? How many of you know that being a follower of Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus, just simply means that I'm a follower of Jesus, I imitate Jesus? That's what we're supposed to be. Can I uncomplicate Christianity for you? Can I uncomplicate what it means to be a Christian? Because the word Christian was not something that was developed by Christians. It was actually, we learned this on Wednesday night, it was actually a term that was used in persecution by the Romans, because in the Roman culture, they had a name for those that would follow Caesar, and it was kind of like Christianos. It wasn't Christianos, it was a different name that ended with Anos, and because Christians wouldn't say Caesar is Lord, then they wouldn't do the traditional bow, they would say Jesus is Lord. To mock them, they called them Christians or Christianos. But initially, they were simply called disciples or followers of Jesus. They were simply those that had discovered who Jesus was and the grace of God in their lives that he offered, and they they were so changed by what Jesus did and by his Holy Spirit that they reoriented their life to imitate Jesus, or to imitate those teachers who follow Jesus, like Paul, who says, follow me like I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Uncomplicating it, being a Christian is simply being a disciple or a follower of Jesus. And when we look at the scriptures and we look at Jesus' life, we find a rhythm in which Jesus moved through his ordinary days, through his ordinary relationships in very human ways, very relational ways, and he loved people and he shared with people and he moved in such a way that it was something that we can imitate. You can be like Jesus. Jesus didn't go around running gospel campaigns or hosting crusades on every corner. He spent time eating with people. How many could eat with people? He spent time listening to people. He spent time serving people. He spent time praying with people in very warm and natural ways. And guess what happened? The kingdom of God showed up every time. The Spirit of God in those ordinary relationships showed up every time. What if that still works today? Over the next several weeks, again, we're going to explore a simple framework. Their practices. This is not a program. This is not a program we're going to start and then it's going to end. This is not a program. These are simply habits or practices that allow us to be able to love our neighbors well and change the world and change our community. And it comes from this book by Dave and John Ferguson called Bless. And earlier this year, I was introduced to this book by what's called Uno Gospel Saturation. That's a group of pastors that meet here in Lake County. And they were coming together. They had gone to a conference. They'd read this book. They hosted a conference here in our community. And several churches here are preaching this same series. So if you are on Facebook and you go, hey, my church isn't the only one that's preaching this, that's why. Because we're all wanting to join. How many know we're really one church? We might have different local expressions, but really, as followers of Jesus, we're all one church, right? And you know, as pastors, you know what our heart really is together? It's not necessarily to grow our own personal congregations bigger. It's to see people throughout this community transformed by the love of Jesus. To have their lives transformed, that they would experience the love and the grace of mercy in Jesus. And how many know that if everybody in Lake County got saved, we wouldn't be able to host it just here? Right? In fact, I would venture to say that even all of the churches that we have in our community would not be able to hold it if everybody gave their life to Christ. It would mean that we would need to start new churches. Oh, that would be exciting, wouldn't it? Not in competition, but in cooperation and unity. And so together, we are wanting to introduce to our local bodies these five practices that come from this book, because we believe that if believers in every church here in this community would practice these five things, personally adopt and practice these five things, that we would see Lake County changed and transformed for the name of Jesus. I know I'm selling it big, right? Just call me the used car salesman. No. Really, these are very simple. And I think when you start to understand these, you're going to go, is it really that simple? Can I really do that? Yeah, it's built on five letters, BLESS, B-L-E-S-S. And so let me give you a little bit of an overview. Dave Ferguson shares about a research study that he was emailed that caught his attention. He writes this in the book and started him down the path of rethinking evangelism. And the sender that shared just sent a single chapter of a research study that you would do in a college, like master's or doctoral program. They sent this research study to him, and the title of the chapter of this research study was Blessers versus Converters. Blessers versus Converters. And it was based on two teams that were missionaries to Thailand. And while both teams went with similar goals, they had two distinctly different strategies of how they were going to carry out what God had called them to do. The converters group went with the sole intention of converting people and evangelizing, and their goal was to save souls. The blessers group explained that their intention like this: we are here to bless whoever God sends our way. And the study followed both. They followed the converters, they followed the blessers for 2 years. And at the end of that time, research discovered two key findings. Here are the findings. First, the presence of the blessers in the community resulted in a tremendous amount of social good. It appeared, according to the study, that this group contributed to the betterment of society, community life, and the creation of what they called social capital. The presence of the converters, however, seemed to make absolutely no difference in the community. No difference. The second discovery, and this was very surprising, was that the blessers saw 48 conversions. The blessing group found 48 conversions, while the converters saw only one over 2 years. That's like 50 times more conversions by being a blessing than just simply going and trying to convert people. The bottom line is this: the best way to accomplish Jesus' mission is by blessing and loving people. And you say, well, Pastor, don't we have to share? Yes, and that's a part of it. That's a part of what we do, but it's not the only part of what we do. It's not the only part of what we do. Hang with me. I know there are some that might be struggling. Pastor, are you preaching heresy? Hang with me, because this is not something new. This is not something new. It's not a new strategy. It's something that we see as far back as the Old Testament. So let me give you some Old Testament foundation, and then we're going to move in and we're going to see the life of Jesus. So that's the roadmap of where we're going this morning, all right? First is God's call to a guy by the name of Abram. He was also known as Abraham. How many have heard of that guy? Right? Man of faith. Abram, Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, 1-3 shows when God showed up and called and invited Abram to follow him. And it says this: the Lord God said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. There is one word that is repeated 5 times in these 3 short verses. Somebody tell me, what is it? Bless, right? I will bless you. I will bless you so that what? You will be a? Oh, I'm going to bless you for you to be a what? Oh, so we're blessed by God so that we can do what? Be a blessing. See, I love how you talk back to me. This is so good. This is so good. Right? And I will bless those who bless you. Right? And then let's skip. And not only that, but all people on earth will be blessed through who? Through you. So God is going to use you to bless others. You have been called to be a blessing to those around you. You've been called to be a blessing, not a pain. I know, that's hard for some of you. You like being a pain. You're called to be a blessing. We're blessed so that we can bless others. We have been blessed by God so that we can take the same blessing that we have received and we can share it with others. We have been blessed by God so the forgiveness we receive from God, we can use and forgive others. How many know when you are forgiven, that's a blessing, right? Because we all make mistakes, right? So when somebody does something and make a mistake, they expect punishment, and instead we give them grace and mercy because grace and mercy has been shown to us. Amazing, right? Well, the very first strategy of reaching the world had a problem, though, because Abram and Sarai, his wife, were advanced in years, and they didn't even have any children. So, nice, God, but how was this going to come about? It was going to come about because it was going to be something supernatural. It was not going to be something that could be done in the natural by their natural means. And let me tell you something, friends. What God is calling us to do is not something that we simply do naturally, but it's something that as we become obedient to God, God is going to work through us supernaturally to be able to transform the community and the world around us. It's often how we feel, right? I can't possibly make a difference. How am I supposed to do it? What am I supposed to do? We find ourselves in a place of desperation. But God said to Abram, go. Go from your country. Just the word go, right? Go. Not stay. Go. Does that remind you of anything Jesus said in the New Testament? Perhaps Matthew chapter 28. Yeah, you said it, right? Yeah, Matthew. Go, therefore, go and make what? Disciples, see, you're talking back to me, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. God is constantly on the move. He doesn't stay still. God is moving, and he invites his followers not to stay put, but to go, participating in the mission of making disciples of all nations. There's no better model of this than Jesus himself, right? He ministered and he was set apart and he taught, but more than taught, his life was a blessing to those around him. Throughout the Gospels, we see numerous examples of this as Jesus blessed the people that he encountered. His most famous sermon was the Sermon on the Mount. There are 9 ways in which you and I can live blessed lives, right? Anybody know what they're called? The Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they will be filled. Right? And on, blessed are the peacemakers, right? Even blessed when you're persecuted. There are 9 ways. Why? Because God desires that we live under his blessing. And that is so that we can be a blessing. Additionally, there's countless moments where Jesus encountered people in society that others had written off. How many of you believe there are people in our own society that others have written off? They've written off. There were people back then that have been written off, even by the religious leaders of the day. And there was a man in particular, a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10, he heard Jesus was coming and he began to call out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Mark chapter 10, 48 says, this is how people responded in the crowd to him. Many rebuked him and told him, be quiet. Be quiet. You're a pain. You stood over here all the time. You're a pain. We don't want to hear from you. We've heard of you say about your need. I'm blind. Give me some money. Give me some alms. Help me out. You know, here's Jesus walking into town. He's got important things to do. He doesn't have time to hear you and your story. He doesn't have time to hear about your problems. Be quiet. How many know there are people in our society? And it doesn't matter economically. And it doesn't matter. This isn't about an economic. This is just about there are people, it doesn't matter, rich or poor, who feel like nobody is listening to them. Nobody wants to hear. There are problems, things that they're up against, things that they're going through. And nobody wants to hear. Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. But listen, he called out all the more. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And what did Jesus do? Jesus stops, Mark 10, 51. Let's just read the first half of that verse. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus, that seems kind of obvious. Right? The man was blind. Jesus, are you having trouble with your eyes? Can you not see? What do you want me to do for you? Why do you think Jesus asked that question? Jesus Jesus knew the answer, right? To be relational. To have an opportunity to listen. To have an opportunity for the man to feel heard. Because you see, more than just his physical sight, he had been set aside and emotionally and by society told, we don't care about you. We don't care about you. Can I tell you something? Jesus cares about you. He cares about you. While he has truth to share, and while he wants to save your soul, he also wants to heal you emotionally from the pain that sin has caused you. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And the man begins to share his story, and he begins to explain his need. Rabbi, I want to see. Rabbi, I want to see. And you know what Jesus did? He healed the man. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. He healed the man. See, Jesus made time for people others ignored. From a woman at a well who came out in the heat of the sun because she didn't want to be around the people in her society. She'd been married, five times, and the man she was with was no longer her husband, and you know, she was living with, and she had been through it. And Jesus, as he was going through Samaria, we must go through Samaria, not around it. We must go through Samaria. Why? Because I have a divine appointment with a woman that needs to know that she's cared about and listened to. Jesus made time for people that others sidelined, or a notorious tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus. We just had, I hope you paid your taxes this past week. I hope you paid your taxes. A notorious tax collector, Jesus stopped and invited down. And he was up in a tree because he was small. He was short in stature. Plus the crowds, nobody liked him. Nobody's going to give him an opportunity to see Jesus. After all, why would Jesus want to be around a man by the name of Zacchaeus? And yet Jesus stops and he goes, yeah, I got things to do, but you know what? I need to spend some time with this man. And he invited him, and he came down, and he said, listen, we're going to go back to your house, and we're going to have a meal together. Jesus ate with him. Jesus spent time with him, right? And what happened? He was so changed after that he came out, and he said, I'm going to give everything I have to the poor. If I cheated everyone, I'm going to pay it back to them. I'm going to pay it back. These are just a few examples of the compassion and the relational way in which Jesus modeled loving your neighbor. How many know we're not just to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, but what else? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love your neighbor. We're called and invited to do that. That's God's plan. God's plan is for us to love our neighbors in the way that he loves us. And simple blessing strategy helps us do that as he spoke over Abram and as Jesus modeled. And Paul, in his letter to the church in Galatia, drew a straight line from Abraham to us. Look at this, Galatians 3, 7 and 9. Understand then that those who have faith are children of who? Abraham. Are you a follower of Jesus? Do you have faith in God? You're a children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. If you're not Jewish, guess what? Who you are? You're a Gentile, right? By faith, and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. Well, how? Because you're children of Abraham. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. And so if Abraham was blessed to be a blessing, and we are children of Abraham and followers of Jesus Christ, guess what? We're blessed to be what? A blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. The blessing was never meant to be something we keep for ourselves. Rather, as Jesus declared in John 7:38, that those who believe in him, streams of living water will flow from within you. Streams of living water. Our lives aren't meant to be buckets of blessing to hold on to, but rather to flow out of. To be, Paul in his ministry said that he was poured out like a drink offering. We come to church and we want, oh, I want revival, I want revival. Why? Because I just want to be filled up, filled up, filled up. But if you're never overflowing, to where you're blessing others, you've missed the point. You've missed the point. While we come to church and it does make us happy and we worship and we dance and we experience His joy, if you go home and you never share that joy, you've missed the point. You've missed the point. So I'm going to land the plane. How can we become blessers? How do we actually live our lives as blessers? How do ordinary people with ordinary lives, ordinary schedules, ordinary relationships become the kind of blessers that the research described? And how do we move from just nodding, amen, pastor, that's a good message, to actually doing, right? Amen, pastor, good message, I believe it, amen, that's right, that's right. How do we move from just saying that's right in the pew to going out and doing it? From the pew to the do. Right, we ought to put that on a t-shirt. From the pew to the do. I got to move from the pew to do, right? I got to move from my faith just being something I talk about to being something that I do. Faith without works, James, is? Thank you very much. So five reproducible practices that are woven in the fabric of everyday life that are natural to the people around us. You don't have to do it perfectly. And it's not just an event, it's a habit. It's something that you begin to integrate into your life, one relationship at a time. And here's what I love about those five practices, the blessed practices. Here's what I love about them. They help us. So let me give you a quick overview, and then we're going to land the plane today. And this is going to be very practical today. Here's the blessed strategy. B is this, begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. We're going to explore each of these over the weeks to come. Begin with prayer. How many of you know that a meaningful movement really that starts has to begin with prayer? This is not something you do on your own. This is something you begin to bathe in prayer. We pray for the people in our lives by name, and we ask them to open up we ask God to open up their eyes and to also open up our eyes so that we might be alert to who God may be putting in front of us in a certain day. Who God may want us to bless today. Right? We begin with prayer. We invite the Holy Spirit to go ahead of us into our relationships. We're going to look more in depth next week at this. L, listen. Jesus was remarkably present with people. We rush from thing to thing. Our to-do lists are so full and our schedules are so jammed that when it comes to it, oftentimes we miss opportunities because we don't make time to actually be available to sit and have a relationship with people. Jesus slowed down. He listened, and His radical love for the world was shown not simply by what He said, but also by how He listened to people. He listened to people. This is my favorite. E is eat. I think it's your favorite too, by you laughing, right? The Pharisees criticized Him for it. He's a friend of sinners, right? But there's something about sharing a meal that kind of breaks down barriers, that builds trust, that creates space for real conversations to take place. And everybody has to eat, right? I'm so busy, you have to eat. Make time to invite somebody with you. Invite somebody for a meal. Enter the rhythms of your everyday life where you can take time to listen to them, to hear. The first S is serve. Jesus, in His own words, said He came to serve, not to be served. He came to serve. He washed feet. He healed the sick. He noticed those who were overlooked. It's something practical and tangible about serving and not serving the way we want to serve. But when you begin to truly listen to people and you take time to listen to them, they will tell you how they need to be served. This works in marriage too, by the way. If you spend time with your spouse and you actually listen more than talk, they will tell you how to serve them. You ought to be serving one another in marriage. You didn't get into marriage so your partner could serve you. That's selfish. And I tell you where that road goes. Look to serve one another. Okay, that was extra. I don't know why. Somebody needed that this morning. Somebody needed that this morning, right? The last one is story. Share your story. This is not just a social thing. There is an opportunity to serve. It's not just let just your life show it and never have to say anything. That's ridiculous. You do have to share your story. I don't know any witness in court that doesn't have to stand up and share their story. A witness doesn't sit up there and go, well, just look at my life and that'll tell you. The disciples talked about the things that they seen her. But see, it comes within the fabric of normal rhythms and relationships. You say, witnessing is so hard. No, it really doesn't have to be. If you pray for the people around you and you look for the opportunities and you begin to listen to people and you eat with people and you serve people, guess what? There will be opportunities opened up if you will take advantage of them, where they will be ready to hear when you share your story. And by seeing your life and the love of Jesus, when you share their story, they're going to be more apt to say, yes, I want that in my life too. I want that in my life too, right? These are the practical things. We're gonna talk about what does that look like every single week. We're gonna talk about what that looks like. Five practices. Team, will you come? See, we're not inventing something new. We're recovering an ancient practice that Jesus walked in, that Jesus modeled, and that he left for us. And so we're gonna begin to give attention to this. So here's what I wanna close with. I wanna close practically today. Something that you can begin to carry with you this week. First, this. The people on the street, let me tell you something about them. God already loves them and knows them. Your coworker who eats lunch alone at her desk, guess what? God already knows her name. The neighbor whose lights are on late at night, who's lonely, and guess what? God's aware of what's keeping them up at night. The family member who's drifted, the one who's never believed, the one who's been hurt by church and religion and doesn't want to come to church, build a wall around their heart. Guess what? God knows them. God hasn't forgotten them, and God hasn't given up on them. God's not waiting for you to become a better version of yourself or to know more to be able to follow him and what he modeled in these practices of being a blessing. You can start right now where you are with the relationships you have. That's the beauty. It's not something unfamiliar to us. It's a part of our everyday fabric. If we will allow ourselves to say, God, put it in a category. Let me pay attention to you. Let me pray and say, Lord, show me. So this week, I want you to simply say, God, open up my eyes. Let me just pause. Open up my eyes to the people around me and the needs that are around me, and let me see what you see. Let me see what you see. And as God begins to bring people into your mind, and I know he's doing that already, I want you to take out a pad of paper, or I want you to open up your phone in the notes section, and I want you to begin to write down their names, the names of five people. Who are five people that God would put on your heart that you say, these are the five that God begins to bring to mind? And here's what I want you to do, just simply this week. I want you to pray for them every day. During your devotion time, during your drive to work, before you go to sleep at night, whatever it is, I want you to take out that paper. I want you to open up that note section of your phone. If you have to put a reminder to remind yourself, let a reminder pop up, and I want you to begin to pray for them. There's also a little thing called the Bless app. You can find it. It's like this. It's called the Bless app. And actually, it's going to tell you your neighbors. It'll name them by name and tell you their addresses, your neighbors. And you can begin to mark pray as you begin to pray for your neighbors from where you live. Listen, it's simple, but it's not always easy. But I believe that if we as a body, and if we here in this local church and other local churches, if we begin to practice these things, how many believe our community will be transformed? It's going to be transformed by the name of Jesus. So let's be the kind of people that are blessers. Let's be the kind of people that are blessers. So in this moment, let's bow our heads. And I'm just going to invite you right now, just say, Lord, show me how you want me to be a blessing. Show me who you want me to begin praying for. Show me who you want me to bless. Open up my eyes to see the needs around me. Jesus, right now in this moment, we humble ourselves. And we just ask you, Jesus, to show us, just reveal to us, who are the people, God, that you have put around us? that you're desiring for us to be a blessing to? Show us. Jesus, open up our eyes. Open our eyes. Show us areas in our schedules that maybe we need to pull back so that we can make room to be able to bless others. Show us, God, the people that you've put around us, a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, maybe somebody, Lord, that we pass every day, but you want us to just stop and engage in conversation. Jesus, show us. Show us who you desire for us to bless. We pray for them. We pray, Lord, that you'll go before us. You'll open up the doors and give us the opportunity, Lord, to stop and listen. Maybe to invite to a meal and eat. Maybe to find a way to serve, not in any kind of order, but Lord, as you give us opportunity, maybe to even share our story, as you give opportunity, that we'll just simply follow the prompting of your Holy Spirit and do what you've asked us to do so that, Lord, like you gave that call to Abram, that God, we can be a blessing. We can be a people that are a blessing in your name for your glory and your honor. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you're encouraged by this message. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, visit PainesvilleAG.com.